Blog Talk Radio. 10:37 in the morning, Fast 60-Minute Sports rolling. To say there's some technical difficulties is probably an understatement. I don't know if it's weather-related or what, but we are here nonetheless. It is week 15 of the National Football League. Yours truly, Vincent Moore, i.e. Vinny Moore, i.e. Vinny Moe, depending on where I've been in this wonderful North American province, to say good morning to you. Happy Sunday. It's been a roller coaster week for many of our teams in the National Football League, and it's been a roller coaster week for a lot of people personally. So, but nonetheless, we are thankful to be here today, and we're going to have ourselves a good time. We're going to go till about 11:30 here in Middle Earth, which is about 10:30 out in the mountains, certainly till about 12:30 on the East Coast. And today's focus will simply be about the playoff implications. If you get out to ESPN, there is a wonderful thing called the playoff machine, which allows you to manipulate things based on the outcome of games. So you basically decide who wins, and the system simply shows you what that means to your playoff pitcher. So 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 if you want to join the conversation. For those of you here in Middle Earth, oh my. The Chicago Bears, 7-6, going to Cleveland, 4-9, for a game that the Bears must have. And they must have it against a team who has absolutely nothing to lose. This is a major league problem for our boys. Let me be kind when I say this. This is a major league problem for our boys in blue and orange. I don't know if they're going to be wearing the white jerseys or the white. And if it snows like it did last week, I don't even know if you'll be able to visually see them. The Bears in all white jerseys, all white pants is never a good look. I don't care who you are, what you say, it's never a good look. Of course, what would be a good look is a Bears victory and going to 8-6, putting themselves, at least for the moment, ahead of the Detroit Lions, who play Baltimore on Monday night. I have sat quietly for a while now, and I pondered and pondered the possibilities of Mark Trestman in his first year. Number one, getting to the playoffs. Number two, getting deep into the playoffs and the implications behind that, what it would mean to the market of Chicago, what it would mean to the city. And there's no other real way to put it except it's been an extraordinary season. Most first-year coaches don't come in and have this success. Then again, most first-year coaches don't come in and have that much talent either. I mean, you've got Alshon Jeffries on one side, Brandon Marshall on the other side, a healthy Matt Forte, and a redone offensive line that has played lights out. I'll be curious to see for Pro Bowl balloting how many offensive line from the Bears, you know, how many of those guys actually make the Pro Bowl, because those guys have been really, really stellar. Gone are the days of the 50-plus sacks for the Bears quarterbacks. So, you know, guys like Jordan Mills and Kyle Long, I mean, amazing, an absolute amazing job done by those guys. Not only, you know, the keeping Jay Cutler basically upright most of the season, but when Josh McCown came in after Jay got hurt, the same thing. The numbers for McCown, it's been rattled a lot for the last couple of weeks that Josh McCown, the highest QBR rating in the NFL, and he's the backup of the Bears. He just got an opportunity to shine, and shine he has done. The game against the Cowboys, if you haven't gone out to ESPN or go out to NFL.com and looked at the highlights of that game, nothing short of stellar. Alshon Jeffries is a budding star, so why not, right? Why not? It only seems appropriate that it's about time for those of us here in Middle Earth to get a chance to see our team and our boys do incredibly well. I am excited to simply say, to simply see what's possible. Now, again, if the Bears win out for the rest of the season, they'll be at 10-6, and more than likely will be in the playoff picture. I just don't see the Lions running the table, and the Lions think we'll have a problem tomorrow night. I think sometimes, and this is just my opinion, Schwartz is a good coach, but I do believe that the moment may just be too large. It just may be too large for the Detroit Lions. Is it too large for Mark Trestman? This guy's won championships in the CFL. And again, I don't know that you ever over-magnify a situation when you're in that position. When you're the head coach of a major market, major franchise, and you've got to the highest level of that particular thing and you've won, if you get back, I think your expectations are to be as successful each and every time or some level of it. You know, of course, barring the catastrophic things of injuries and things of that nature. But I think you do, and I think the Bears have largely prepared themselves for what is to come, whether it's this year or next year. If you're a Bears fan, you can't wait to next year. You can't wait, all right? You know, this offseason will be fun. You'll have some draft picks, and it seems now like you have coach and a coaching staff that actually knows how to develop players. And this is a bit of a far cry for those of us who've kind of weathered the storm of the Bears for a very long time. You know, again, what is it we do, what is it we've been able to do that has been relatively successful? Hang on a second, guys. Am I seeing this right? The connection speed between you is fast. Well, thank you very much. I guess I appreciate that. So we're good now? Our tools are good? Everything's right? Everything's going well? Yeah? Okay. No, that's cool. It's good. It's good. Hey. it seems good. Let's see if we can find a listener out here that might be able to give us some insight. I'm a little bit leery about certain things, and other things, you know, you kind of just let go. And can someone tell me, if at all possible, why when we post, we have a snapshot of the Sandy Hook School? I don't know why that is. How that happened? Was that something that was done in post-production? Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, it is what it is. Happy Monday. Now, happy Monday. Listen to me. A day ahead. Happy Sunday, everybody. Let's get into some of the things going on in the sports world outside of the football. How about that? This is where we're supposed to have a wonderful segue music. I got to do my own segue music this morning. All right, we're going to have some fun. All right, let's see. Let's start in the world of Major League Baseball. Hot stove news. Any major trade? It has gone really, really quiet in many offices around Major League Baseball. The Atlanta Braves nearing a deal with right-handed pitcher by Gavin Floyd. A-Rod is confident he'll play next season. Now, that's a big legal case that they're working on right now. Juan Uribe agrees to re-sign with the Dodgers. That's a good move for Juan Uribe. Pelfrey and Twins agree to a two-year deal. Bartolo Colon officially signed with the Mets. David Ortiz, Red Sox, discuss a one-year extension. James Loney to the Rays for 3 years and $21 million. Good for James. Infante, Royals reach a four-year deal. That's Omar Infante. Yanks not angry at Cano. Feeling bad for him. Why? Because he's leaving New York. That's nothing but motivation. Jacoby Ellsbury goes from Thorn to Yanks. Flower. Go figure. Rangers draft the Seahawks quarterback Wilson. Okay, that makes sense to me. That doesn't make sense. All right, we'll blow that one over. Cano thanks New York Science with the M's. That would probably be the Mariners. Buster Olney, many teams capable of a big move. Well, let's see what's happening. Nothing really going on in baseball beyond that, so a bunch of rumors. Bronson Arroyo suitors, we'll see what that means, if anything, but nothing more beyond that. To the National Basketball Association, for those of you remotely paying attention to the NBA, and that won't be many of you, trust me, not yet. I don't know why. We don't typically pay attention to a lot of regular season NBA. We just kind of sit back and we expect LeBron to be LeBron, Dwayne Wade when he's healthy to be Dwayne Wade. What's that next level? What's that next generation? News is all about right now. Lakers win first with Kobe back. LeBron is LeBron. Leads Heat to storm past the Cavaliers. That's the Cavaliers. Rondo's okay to play full contact basketball now. The Bulls are finding ways to kind of stay afloat without Derrick Rose. The Blazers sink 21 threes and move to 20-4. No one saw that coming out of the Portland Trail Blazers. Chris Paul stars as Clips route the Wizards for a 4-3 road trip. Knicks pull away from the Atlanta Hawks behind Carmelo. Heinrich is out for the Bulls. Dang returns. Mavs without an ill. Dirk Nowitzki. Carlisle versus the Bucks. Delfino has surgery, likely out 8 weeks. There's nothing really – I mean, we can look at the standings, guys, but there's really nothing to talk about at this point. The season, we're not quite to the halfway point in the season. Way too much still up for grabs. You've got Indiana with the best record in basketball at 20-3, followed closely by Portland at 20-4 out of the West. The only thing about Indiana that you really have to kind of just – know is they don't do this the easy way. They work their butts off. They grind. They're 8-2 in their last 10, followed again closely by Miami at 17-6. Now, here's the deal with Miami. It's LeBron, and when Dwayne Wade is healthy, it's D-Wade. Can Miami, and I know no one thought I would ask this question because normally it's, can Indiana handle Miami? No, it's the other way around. Can Miami handle the pressure and the size of Indiana in a seven-game series right now? And really, when you think about it, Atlanta, Boston, Detroit, Charlotte, Toronto, Chicago, all those teams that are in the playoff picture, There's only two teams in the Eastern Conference that are worth watching right now, and that's Indiana-Miami. All right. The third team in the playoff pitchers is a 500 team, and it's the Atlanta Hawks at 12-12. Give me a break. All right. Give me a break. And I don't know how much that's going to change in the next 20 games as we get past the midway point in the season. To the Western Conference, Portland Trailblazers 20-4, San Antonio 19-4, Oklahoma City 18-4. At least you have every one of those teams is above 500, every last one of them. Houston's going to make a move. We just don't know exactly when that run's going to come. It's going to come relatively quickly, though. The Clippers, Oklahoma City is good. San Antonio is just consistent. They won four straight. And Portland, right now on a three-game win streak, 20-4, playing lights out. Here's a question for you. The Toronto Raptors are 9-3. They won two, their last two games. Uniquely enough, after the trade of Rudy Gay. Rudy went to Sacramento, and I think I'm likely to believe that Sacramento is outside. Yeah, they are. They're 6-15. That's got to stink if you're Rudy Gay. You go from a playoff team, or at least a playoff-bound team at this point, to a team that's 6-15. Who did you offend? Hoo-hoo-wee! Nonetheless, not much else on the NBA circuit right now that's worth talking about. No backstories, nothing. Let's go to the NHL. Shall we? The Bruins, Thornton, suspended 15 games. Evgeny Malkin out, left leg. Let's see. Let's get to the standings. Roberto Long is still a Vancouver Canuck. Good for him. He's got to be done, man. He gets so much scrutiny. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I mean, I get a ton of scrutiny myself for having an opinion, whether it's here or on social media, but nothing like what – actually, compared even to some of the players in the NFL and the NBA, what they get, nothing in the NHL compares to what Roberto Luongo goes to for Vancouver. Every single season, under scrutiny, can't win the big one, and so on and so on. All right, enough about that. Him particularly. Let's get to the NHL standings. Boston 22-9, 7-3 in their last 10, just coming off of their most recent loss. 46 points in the Atlantic Division. In the Metropolitan Division, Pittsburgh doing what they've always done, running away to some degree with a 10-point lead over Washington, the Caps, which, and that's not a bad hockey team. They just haven't put it all together yet. But Pittsburgh at 47 points right now after coming off three straight wins, doing what they do. In the Western Conference, the Central, there they are again, the defending champion Chicago Blackhawks, 51 points. They just come off a recent loss. Who'd they lose to? I must have missed a game. Anyway, 23-7, 51 points. Just strong. This time around, though, followed closely by the St. Louis Blues at 47 points, 22-6-3 on the season. They're coming off three straight wins. And not to be outdone gigantically, here come the Colorado Avalanche, 21-9-1, 43 points, coming off a loss most recently. That Central Division in the Western Conference is really, really solid. Only one team in that division is under 500, that being Winnipeg, and they've unfortunately lost three straight. But Nashville, all of it, Nashville, Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, all above 500 and playing good hockey. And, of course, what that means is somewhere in this wonderful perspective is a team that's still considered a playoff team that's below 500 somewhere. In the Pacific, Anaheim dominating alongside with the Los Angeles Kings, both at 22-7. Both are on win streaks right now. The Kings have won six straight. The Ducks have won four straight. Good stuff from the hockey world. Vancouver 20-10. Again, there's our guy Luongo. They've just won seven straight, so they're not going away quietly by any stretch of the imagination. Phoenix 18-9 and 5, sitting at 41 points after coming off a loss. And my guys from Calgary, well, they're 13-15 and 4 at this point. 30 points. They need certainly to get hot, but they're a lot of fun to watch. They're coming off two back-to-back wins now, which is fun. And I don't get this. And maybe it's just me and my little hockey naivety. Yes, I walk around proudly with my Blackhawks championship jacket on. I still believe we have the most talented squad in the entire National Hockey League. But I root for Calgary, and I'm looking down at the Pacific standings in the Western Conference, and I'm concerned because Edmonton is 11-20. I'm sorry, am I saying that right? Yes, 11-20-3. 11-20-3. They've lost two straight. This shouldn't happen to Edmonton. Okay. Now, again, maybe they're down, maybe they're young, but I remember Edmonton team last year that would come even to Chicago and at least put a scare in the Blackhawks. And a couple of times they shocked the Blackhawks, but they played hard. From what I'm seeing, and if someone has a different perspective, by all means, share it to me. I have not seen the Edmonton Oilers play hard this year. Not hard. That just doesn't happen. Don't know why, don't know what's going on, but it hasn't happened. 53 past the hour. We're about 37 minutes to go on this particular ride. We're in the middle of what our normal broadcast would be, but that's a lot concerned with weather issues in all of the United States alongside of scheduling associated with the National Football League. For those of you going to your pregame shows in a few minutes, remember, these pregame shows, if you're looking for your NFC pregame, which is on Fox, find your Fox affiliate. If you're looking for the AFC, that would be your CBS affiliate. All right, and, of course, Sunday Night Football will be brought to you by NBC. Monday night is on ESPN. And a lot of, again, if you're an NFL head like so many of us are, you can't wait. You can't wait to see how this weekend unfolds. I myself am excited about Bears and Browns because, again, I'm a Bears fan. Don't apologize for that. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Come on, join the ride. In the meantime, let's get some stuff from our boys at ESPN. Yeah, let's look. We can do it now. That's fine. Are you going to do the comedy break first? All right. We'll do the comedy break first, and then we'll come back with our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks for Week 15, courtesy of our friends at ESPN Radio, brought to you by Peak. And when you peak, you win. This is yours truly's, it's like a 10-minute comedy break. How about that? There you go.
Oh, man. How y'all doing? Y'all all right? You're looking at me like I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow you. You're looking like, Lord, please don't let him fall right now. If I fall, who going to pick me up? Nobody. Y'all be standing across the street. That fat dude fell over there. White people, oh, I'm going to help you. Are you okay? Black people don't help you. I don't know him that good. Black people step right over. Excuse me. Let me get right here, please. Oh, I'm glad to see white people here. Oh, my God. I love white people, man. They pay on time, you know what I'm saying? White person writes you a check, you can take it to the bank in the morning. Brother writes you a check, he gonna post date the next Friday. Look you straight in the eye, say, if you go in that Thursday, the money won't be there. But white people can fire you from a job and still be smiling, you hear me? This lady fired me one day, I'm sorry, I gotta let you go. If you need a good reference, tell him to give me a call. I say, reference? I'm thinking about setting this place on fire. Hey, white people are happy early in the morning. Hey, good morning, how are you? Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Hi, Dave, how are you? Black people are not happy early in the morning. You catch a black person, good morning, yeah, go on. I got a hangover, leave me alone, now leave me alone. But I like white people because they let you know when stuff's going to happen. Like if somebody's going to hit me in the head with a stick right now, white person jump up, hey, watch yourself, he's going to hit you with that stick right there. I can turn around and catch him. Black people don't talk about nothing. They don't let you know nothing. They'll talk among each other, but they won't say nothing to you. Black people sit right now, look, he's been hitting with that stick. He's been hitting. Bam! I told you. I told you you're going to hit him in the head. Didn't I tell you? But white people always use for the love of God when something happens. You ever notice that? For the love of God. Black people use Jesus because there's power in the name Jesus. Am I right? You can leave here tonight. Your car starts sliding. Black person, say, Jesus, come straighten up. White people leave here tonight. Car starts sliding. For the love of, boom. Knock the wall down. So start using Jesus. It'll work for you. Because white people take chances. I don't know why. White people don't catch on to nothing. They can go home tonight, garage door open, the kitchen door is wide open. They sitting in the car trying to guess, I wonder who left that door open. The brother in the house leaving lit in the back door, he's just looking. They walk in the house, I left it open, lay down, for the love of God! The brother be like, shut up and say Jesus. So I like white people. It's the rednecks I'm scared of. Oh, my God. I'm from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They are down there. You understand? If you go to a black club in Atlanta and a white person walk in, black people don't say nothing because we don't care. But if you go in a redneck club and a brother walk in, the music will stop. As soon as you walk in, ding, 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 ding. Who let you in here? Somebody killed the doorman because he's slipping. Rednecks or something else. They got a chain of restaurants in Atlanta that rednecks go in. You know, how you doing? Oh, pretty good. You can tell when they don't like what black people the way they speak. You walk in, hey, how you doing? Yep. When you hear that yep, that means get out of there. You understand what I'm saying? And they always drive a Ford truck. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take nothing but a Ford. F-O-R-D, period. Ain't nothing like a Ford. I wouldn't drive a Chevrolet because I can't spell it. And black people, quit lying about your job titles, okay? Lady next door to me, oh, man. She told me she was a computer programmer. I get to the gas station, she's talking about 1006, 1006. I'm just looking at her, 1006? I thought she was a computer programmer. What you think I'm doing? A guy next door to me, he's a maintenance engineer. I'm like, oh, my God, he has a good job. You know what I'm saying? I get to the grocery store, he buffing floors. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of warm in here. Is it warm in here? I'm kind of sweating like a pimp with one hoe. You know what I mean? When I fly all the time, I had to fly first class because, you know, I'm a big boy, you know what I'm saying? So every time I'm in first class, people that know me always walk by and be speaking like, hey, Bruce, you know. So normally white people don't know who I am, you know what I'm saying? So I was sitting next to this one guy, and he's looking at me like, God, everybody's speaking to him, you know? So he said, look here, buddy, I ain't getting in your business, but I'm looking at you and everybody's speaking to you, so you got to be somebody. So when they don't know who I am, I'm like, you don't know who I am? He's like, no. I said, I'm a male stripper. He's like, you kidding? I said, yeah. He said, what's your stage name? I said, Stretch Marks. He was calling me at the whole like, look, you're Stretch Marks. I'm going to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. Because, you know, at the airport now, they do all type of random searches. Everybody knows this. Anybody fly know what I'm talking about. I have to fly all the time. So they can just pick you out of the line like, I need to check your bag. There's nothing you can do. If you don't let them check it, you're not flying, you know? So a lady picked me out. I was flying from L.A. to here. She said, I need to do a random search on you. I said, yes, ma'am. And she looked in my bag. She get real loud. What you doing with all these Subway sandwiches? You know, I tried to be cool, you know what I'm saying? I said, I get hungry between flights, you know what I'm saying? Then she get real loud, 26 Subway. I said, 26, it's supposed to be 28. Somebody done got me for two sandwiches, you know? You know how it is, man. You know how it is when you're big. I got a cousin a little bit bigger than me. Yeah, yeah. He's a big dude, y'all, for real. He went and bought a 1999 Ford Escort. He came to my house, let's go get something to eat. I said, where am I sitting? He said, I get in the front, you get in the back. I said, damn it, let's ride. We're going down the street, calling like it's full of people. Everybody, man, look at all them people in that car. Police pulled us up, all six of y'all get out. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought those six people drive on. This joke, but you'll see somebody so big when they're eating, they be humming. You know what I'm talking about? We was in a restaurant, he like, then he gave out a breath. I said, you all right? Yeah. He big, too. Every time he think we going to eat, he start dancing. We'll be at home. I said, man, I'm going to get something to eat. He be like,
That is the comic stylings of Bruce Bruce on the Comedy Break, right here on the fastest 60 minutes in sports you're truly living anymore. I'm forgetting something. We've got our locks coming up. It's two past the top of the hour for wherever you are in the North America, which means if you haven't turned your TV set on and gone to your pregame shows for your NFL action today, just a reminder, for your NFC games, that's by Fox. your AFC games by CBS, Sunday Night Football by NBC, Monday Night by ESPN. So there you go. There's kind of a help if you're trying to look through your remote control, trying to find out where they're at. Broadcasting live from Middle Earth in Chicago today, yours truly, Vinny Moore, thanking you and yours for what is an amazing Sunday. It's great to be alive these days. Some challenges in everybody's world, but I want to remind you that God is love, and there's nothing you can do about it, so you might as well get on with it, get on. We love you here at the Fast 6 Minute Sports, and as always, there's nothing, and I mean nothing, you can do about that. All right, so we do the locks? Let's do the locks. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks Week 15, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN, brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win. Here we go.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN radio exclusive.
Look, here we go for week 15. My motto this week is, boy, do they stink.
What is that smell?
I watched the Oakland Raiders play against my Jets last week, and boy, do they stink.
It smells like a used diaper filled with Indian fruit.
Offense, defense, special teams, you name it, they stink.
What is that? It smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
They're home getting only 4 points against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are good, and they're going to get hot going into the playoffs at the right time. Yeah! Chiefs are better offensively than they realize. The defense is more than good enough. Kansas City, give me by double digits. I'll easily give the 4.
That took courage, my friend. Especially for a poor, timid sap like you. I'm proud of you.
I'm going to go to Minnesota where it could be cold and it could be snowy, but it won't affect the game because they play in a dome.
Hey, Captain Obvious, good job.
And they're hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, who won in snow last week.
It's snowing! It's snowing!
This time they'll play on the fast turf. And they'll win in Minnesota. Minnesota still in shambles at the quarterback position. One of their best targets, Kyle Rudolph, has missed a bunch of time and now is on IR, so he's not around.
All right, wise guy, where am I?
And the Philadelphia Eagles know what they are playing for. They go to Minnesota, they're given 4.5. Give a touchdown in this one, Philly big.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
And then head-to-head, Mike, we're going to sunny South Florida where the New England Patriots are taking in a foul disposition. Losing Rob Gronkowski for the season is ultimately the death blow of their championship hopes.
It's over. Finish.
But not this week. The Dolphins aren't for real, and the Patriots are. Bill Belichick will find a way, especially in the division.
We do what we think's best. Let's put it that way.
Tom Brady will find a way. They're only giving 2.5 points. I'll take the Patriots by a touchdown. I'll give the Deuce.
Who does number 2 work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd his boss.
I'm going to take that 2.5. Miami is playing. While they're playing hard, and they're still in it. Right now, they're tied with Baltimore. Even though they lose a tiebreaker, they know what they have to do, and that's keep winning.
How about those Dolphins?
They'll do it at home. New England just keeps losing player after player.
Adams, Adamley, Adamowski, Anderson, Bueller.
It has to catch up with them, and it will this week. Miami, I'll take the 2.5. Quite honestly, I think they get the win.
Today, I am a god. Is that why you're sitting on an ice cream sandwich?
And those are your Week 15 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
This isn't over.
Really? You're leaving? I'm not thinking about it. Sure feels over.
Six past
it's
the
cold,
hour.
But baseball's hot stove league is on fire. GMs, checkbooks in hand, are chasing those far-from-free free agents and trying to fill holes in the lineup. Is your team scheduling press conferences, betting on a bumper crop from the farm system, or dumping dollars to avoid the luxury tax? ESPN Insider Baseball coverage lets you know who's winning the offseason and what that means for the season to come. ESPN Insider, your way in. Get 50% off for 6 months. Visit ESPN.com/insider.
All right, shameless plug there. All right, back on the ride. For those of you still in your fantasy football season, if you're not at your Super Bowl, you should be deep in your playoffs. So let's get down your rankings right now. We'll break it down with defenses all the way up to quarterbacks. Top 10 defenses this week, if you got them, start them. Tampa Bay at number 10, number 9, Philadelphia, number 8, Buffalo, number 7, New Orleans, number 6, Cincinnati, number 5, Arizona, number 4, Kansas City, number 3, San Francisco, number 2, Carolina, and the number 1 defense started going up against the Giants, a truly a matchup of defensive beneficiaries for the Seattle Seahawks fans. The Seattle Seahawks come in at number 1 on the defensive side. The kickers. Let's get to the kickers. Okay, we're slow and refreshing. I'm sure that's all wonderfully technology-driven because nothing is going fast this morning, and we've got a pretty good network here, so I shouldn't be surprised. All right. Your kicker today, number 10. Actually, you have two number 10, 10 and 10A. So you're going to get 11 out of this deal. 10A, Graham Gano. Number 10, Danny Bailey. Number 9, Caleb Sturgis. Number 8, Robbie Gold of the Bears. Number 7, Mason Crosby. Number 6, Blair Walsh. Number 5, Adam Vinatieri. Number 4, Justin Tucker. Number 3, Phil Dawson. Number 2, Stephen Hauschka. Just love this. It's just fun to say Hauschka. And number 1, Stephen Gostkowski in New England. Those are your kickers for this fantasy. If you got them, you're starting them. Your tight ends. Now, this will be interesting. Over the last couple of years, we've come to learn and love the tight ends and the Rob Gronkowski's, and before his most recent troubles, Aaron Hernandez of the world, Brad Selleck's of the world. I mean, these guys are they're blockers, but they're also big-time players. They go get the ball. It's that simple. They just simply go get it. In a lot of cases, better than some receivers. So they've reinvented the tight end. Here we go. Top 10, down to 1. Number 10, Kobe Fleener in the Indianapolis Colts. Number 9, Dennis Pitta with Baltimore. Number 8, Delanie Walker. Number 7, Charles Clay. I like that play in Miami versus New England. Number 6, Jason Witten. Number 5, Jordan Cameron. Number 4, Tony Gonzalez. Number 3, Greg Olsen. Nice to see him finally getting some love. Number 2, Vernon Davis. And number 1, way too often, Jimmy Graham in New Orleans. But look who's throwing to him with Drew Brees. All right, so there you go. Those are your tight ends. You got them, you start them. It's that simple. To your wide receivers now. And this ought to be fun. I would venture, before we get into the list, you're going to see a Josh Gordon and either an Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall. Heck, you might even see all three. Let's see what the top 10 holds this time around. Number 10, Torrey Smith. Out of Baltimore. What's going on there? There we go. Number 9, Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. Number 8, DeSean Jackson in Philly. Number 7, Dez Bryant in Dallas. Number 6, Alshon Jeffrey of Chicago. There you go. Number 5, Brandon Marshall of Chicago. Number 4, A.J. Green. Number 3, Andre Johnson. Number 2, Josh Gordon in Cleveland, because the Bears secondary is porous. Number 1, Calvin Johnson, Megatron against Baltimore tomorrow night. It's probably not a good idea, as one of the Raven players said, to remind someone as talented as Calvin Johnson, as big and as fast as he is, that he's old. If you wanted to get some bulletin board material, well, there you go, because that had to be the dumbest thing you could possibly say to someone like Megatron. Anyway, so those are your top wideouts for Week 15. Your running backs now, and this ought to be interesting as well. I don't know if we're going to see a Matt Forte setting in this list, but we shall see, Zor. We shall see. For those of you who don't remember, that's a line from The Last Starfighter. By the way, great movie that never, ever got its due. Really, really a good movie. If you're sitting around and you need something to watch and you can find it on Netflix with the kids, that is a fun movie, The Last Starfighter. All right. Fantasy Focus and the running backs is on Ben Tate. That's probably legit. Let's see. Top 10 running backs, Ben Tate, number 10. Number 9, Alfred Morris in Washington. Number 8, Zach Stacy. Number 7, Shane Vereen. Number 6, Eddie Lacy in Green Bay. Number 5, DeMarco Murray in Dallas. Number 4, Marshawn Lynch. Number 3, Matt Forte gets number 3. Nicely done. Number 2, LeSean McCoy. And number 1, Jamal Charles. So it's going to be hard. If you got any of these guys, you're definitely going to start them today, especially if you're in your playoff or perhaps you're in your Super Bowl. Go get them, start them, make sure you're ready to rock and roll. 11 past the hour. With that basically means 19 left in the ride. So if you haven't been taking notes, I feel sorry for you. If you haven't made that phone call to get some insight, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. That's odd. Huh. All right, we won't get into that. That's not for viewer consumption or for listener consumption. Just something that we just happened to notice. But nonetheless, I apologize for responding to my misnomer. All right, let's get to quarterbacks. How about that? This may be a first. Number 10 this week, Jay Cutler, who finally comes off the bench to start. I was getting used to seeing Josh McCown's name climbing that list. Number 9, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. Now, where are you going to see Jay Cutler and Tom Brady side by side on much of anything? But here they are, 110, 1, number 9. Number 8, Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Number 7, Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. Number 6, Tony Romo in Dallas. Number 5, Russell Wilson in Seattle. Number 4, Matthew Stafford in Detroit. Number 3, Nick Foles in Philly. Number 2, Cam Newton in Carolina. And number 1, Drew Brees going up against the Cardinals at home. Let's run down one more time. Cutler, Brady, Roethlisberger, Luck, Romo, Wilson, Stafford, Foles, Newton, and Brees. If you got one of them, start them. You got more than one? Have fun with that one. So the question now in the landscape of the NFL is Jay Cutler coming back the move to make? Now, Mark Trestman, again, offensive guru, done some great things. Team is 7-6 right now. Easily could be 9-4 at this point, but such is the way it is. Is this the right move for the Chicago Bears? I should probably give you my opinion, but it's just an opinion. Don't take it to the bank. I don't know that you sit the hot guy when you're in a playoff push. That's my only oxymoron. If this were a season that was largely already lost, it wouldn't matter if Jay came back and just rallied his guys to play well. It's his contract year. You obviously, if you're Mark Trestman, have to believe that Jay Cutler gives you the chance to not only win the game, because the Bears are better than Cleveland, but to dominate. And if you want to get out in a big hurry and get up on Cleveland and kind of slam the door on their hopes and dreams for upsetting the Bears, maybe that's what you do. I like Josh McCown. And if Josh McCown can find a way to stay with Chicago Bears as that career backup that he's been, give this kid some money, because he's earned it. He's more than earned it. And whatever you do, do not let him slip away. There are a lot of teams that would love a Josh McCown as their starter. Matter of fact, let's take a quick gander at that. We've got some time. If we look at the NFL standings-wise, this will obviously just show us the teams. Where does a guy like Josh McCown land if he so desires to leave the Bears? He's not going to Philly. They've got Foles. He's not going to Dallas. They've got Romo. He's not going to the Giants. They've got Eli. I doubt he'd do well in Washington only because RG3 is still their franchise quarterback. Stafford's in Detroit. Cutler's in Chicago. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. What about Minnesota? How would Josh McCown look in Minnesota? Now, again, they don't have a great running back when he's healthy. He's out today. You know, again, Adrian Peterson not playing today. But if you get him one other big wide receiver, how does Josh McCown fare in Minnesota? That almost is scary on the offensive side of the ball. He's not going to go to New Orleans. That's Drew Brees. He's not going to Carolina. That's Cam Newton. How about Tampa Bay? Why not? That could change the fortunes in Tampa Bay in a hurry. He's not going to go to Atlanta. They've got Matt Ryan. Seattle's got Russell Wilson. Colin Kaepernick's in San Francisco. Carson Palmer's in Arizona. Why not the St. Louis Rams? So we've identified Minnesota, Tampa Bay, St. Louis. Teams that aren't going to go anywhere this year, but could make a huge splash with a little bit of assistance, say a Josh McCown, and maybe one other big wide receiver and a solid tight end. And before you know it, you're there. Again, the AFC side, he's not going to New England. Does Miami work? Miami could be a fun story. The Jets have already made an investment in Geno Smith. Buffalo. E.J. Manuel, too much of an investment there. He's not going to Cincinnati. He's not going to Baltimore. He's not going to Pittsburgh. What about Cleveland? We'll see them today. That could be interesting. Cleveland may be the fourth one on the list. He's not going to Indianapolis. He's not going to Tennessee. Well, wait, hang on a second. Tennessee's quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're 5-8. Well, a good wide receiver, and they've got a good tight end. They've got a defensive offensive line, a decent offensive line. Why not? So Tennessee should be a fifth team. Jacksonville, I don't think he would decide to go to Jacksonville. Houston's just been a mess this year at 2-11. Houston is probably the best fit with the talent they've already got. I know it's been a disastrous season. Arian Foster comes back. Ben Tate is healthy. The defense is going to play, but they're not going to continue to be this bad. That's just not going to happen. They've lost 11 straight. After starting the season 2-0, the Houston Texans have lost 11 straight. Their coach has been fired now. This is a win-now league, so certainly he's not going to Denver. Kansas City, they don't need him. San Diego's got Phillip Rivers. Oakland has a few pieces, but I just don't think, this is going to sound really bad, but I'm not sure Oakland is bright enough to go out and get a Josh McCown. But why not? I mean, is he destined to be the career backup? Was he going to be content to be in a system that really truly accentuates his skill set and his talents? Because he thrived, absolutely thrived in the Bears offensive system. Really did. Kudos to Josh McCown for everything he's accomplished. I wish that young man only the best, absolutely only the best in his endeavors. I would love to see him stay with the Bears because, as we all know, Jay is prone to get dinged up. And when you go to someone like a Josh McCown, you've got to love that you don't have to change anything. You don't have to change the playbook, Now, in most situations like that, the backup hasn't had any type of reps with the first team whatsoever. So when he comes in, it's an absolute – I mean, he might shine in certain spots, but they have limited a play. They've limited the playbook just for him so he can have some level of success. But he's not the guy typically marching it down the field and slinging it all over the place. But Josh McCown now is that guy, okay? He's had enough games, 3-2 in the five games he's played. He's played really, really well. The highest QBR rating in the National Football League sits in that kid's head. He's earned it. I mean, if you're the GM of the Bears, you need to play that young man. Pay him and make him happy, okay? And, again, I don't know what his salary. Maybe he's making $500,000 this year as the backup, but he's auditioned for every team in the NFL now, and that kid right there could be in line for a big contract. But you hope as a Bears fan that he stays home. You just hope. That's all you can do. All right. So I know you're sitting around wondering if there's going to be a Week 15 VIN picks. And the answer is I'm going to give you the picks. We're not going to do a nice little production where we do it where I basically give you a bunch of sounds and everything else. No. We're just going to run down the games today. Why? Simply because technology has limited our capabilities. But I'll tell you what I'll do because I love you. First of all, let me see if I can do this. Let me go back to my little – what's in my coffers here? Let's see. What can I utilize? That needs to be cleaned up. That's some music. That's commercial. We've done that already. That's good. Okay, no, we don't. Okay, that's fine. We don't necessarily need to. Okay, we can move past that. Oh, all right. So, you know, we didn't do any college football. All right. Well, college football is in hiatus as we get ready for all the bowl games within the next couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, I think some of them will actually start next week, some of the bowl games. But the big one, of course, Auburn and Florida State. And someone asked me, how did Auburn pull this off? Well, it sounds a little like this.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it 57 yards. Remember, a block kick can go the other way, too. You've got to be careful and get it up. On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown, Auburn, an answered prayer.
And be clear about that. 100, now, of course, it's college football, so you only get credit for 100 yards, but literally 108-yard return by Auburn's Chris Davis to win the game against Alabama, who at the time was number one, Auburn at the time number four. Auburn upsets the what would otherwise be known as the dynasty of Alabama and shocks the BCS world, therefore putting Auburn in position to vie for this championship. Now, Auburn had to take care of its business. They had to win their SEC championship game, which they did against Missouri. And Ohio State, who had the benefit of being number two, laid an egg against Michigan State. So kudos to Michigan State, who wound up jumping six spots behind beating Ohio State up to number four. Again, in the mix is an understatement for Michigan State and setting them up for what should be a tremendous opportunity next year. So all that said, you have an undefeated Florida State team. You also have a one-loss Auburn team playing for the national title. So the SEC does get what it wants, a team in the championship. Should Auburn beat Florida State, which would, again, be a shocker, because Florida State AC always gets criticized for having a weak schedule, then you would have the absolute greatest argument in college football as to why and how the SEC is such a great conference. It just is what it is. 22 past the hour. For those of you who haven't turned your TV sets on for your pregame shows, maybe you're still doing some stuff on the grill. I know most of the nation is under siege with cold weather, cold snaps, snow, sleet, rain. It's Sunday. You're alive to see it. Be thankful for that. To our friends up in the northern provinces, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. To our friends south of us all the way down through Mexico, love you and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I thank you for your support. Thank you for being part of the Fast 6 Minute Sports. You know, we're almost 3 years old. I didn't realize we'd gotten that big, that fast, and it'd been that long. 3 years, man. Seriously. 2011, 12, 13. No kidding. Shows get aged so quickly. Oh, so much fun. Anyway, seven left in the ride. Where do we want to go? Where do we want to go? Where do we want to go? Done that. We even touched on baseball today. Oh, you know what we didn't touch on? Hold on. Guys, go back to the front and find out who won the Heisman last night. Was it Jameis Winston? Because I haven't seen a story to first. Let's see. Yes, it was Jameis Winston. Let me get the breakdown of the voting, because I know Jordan Lynch, a young man from Northern Illinois, was making some noise in media saying that he wasn't going there to lose. He wanted to win. And, again, a great story. He played an incredible, incredible season. Again, the MAC conference has never produced a Heisman Trophy winner, and Jordan Lynch may have been by far the best option at that point. Let's see. Jameis Winston is close to a month away from playing the national title, but he already has a prestigious trophy. At 19 years of age and 342 days old, Winston became the youngest Heisman Trophy winner when he was named college football's most outstanding player Saturday night in New York. He is the second straight freshman to win the Heisman after Texas A&M's Johnny Manziel did it last season. And now we get to the voting. Here we go. Overwhelming is an understatement. Jameis Winston getting 668 of 2,205. That's not right. There's more votes than that. Hang on. It doesn't make sense. 668 first-place votes. A.J. McCarron of Alabama got 79. Jordan Lynch got 40, which is, again, a tremendous accomplishment. Beating out Andre Williams, who only got 29, and Johnny Manziel, who got 30 first-place votes. Trey Mason got 31. But the bottom line is total points for Jordan Lynch, 558, which is only third. So against Jameis Winston, who's been on Front Street ever since the whole accusations of sexual assault and everything he went through, he continued to play at the highest level in college football. A.J. McCarron, the only thing A.J. McCarron could have done differently was to beat Auburn. Had Alabama won that game, chances are he gets more points, but I don't think he beats Jameis Winston. So congratulations to the 19-year-old, the youngest Heisman Trophy winner in college football history to have won the Heisman Trophy. Now, you know, prior to a few years ago, you would never see freshmen winning this thing like you see it now. And back-to-back years now, freshmen have won the Heisman Trophy as the most outstanding player in college football, so why not? And again, for many people, it's as expected. One of the note, Mack Brown, University of Texas, is resigning or has resigned from his post at the University of Texas. There was a lot of chatter in sports about him possibly taking his job being available to Nick Saban at Alabama for almost $100 million for over 10 years. That is just a scary number, but Nick Saban makes it quite clear he intends to stay at Alabama. It'll be fun. I guess it's starting over again, I guess, in terms, if you're Nick Saban, it's starting over at Alabama where you've been now for the last 4 or 5 years, but you've been so dominant and so successful at Alabama, I don't know that there's a reason to leave. I mean, Nick Saban, one of the rarest situations, you win a national championship at LSU, you come to Alabama, you win now, well, 3 out of 5 of the last national championships at Alabama. You are indeed a great head coach. Certainly you did not quite have the same successes in the pros when he was the head coach of Miami, but certainly did great, has done great with LSU and done great in college football across the board. I'd be curious to know how many of the aspiring coaches underneath him are learning, paying attention. They're going to go on to be great coaches in whatever they aspire to as well. And I got to be honest with you guys. There is times when I think maybe yours truly, me, Vinny Moore, missed his call. Yes, I probably should be in broadcasting beyond just the internet radio. I probably should be broadcasting sporting events all around the world. And I know at 51 it's probably not too late, but I probably should really get on my horse and start thinking about that. Since I've come off my most recent contract as of October, I find myself just kind of spinning my wheels thinking, what's the next opportunity coming? Is it going to send me back to Canada? Is it going to send me to the East Coast, West Coast? You know, where am I going to go next? And I'm sitting there amid all the turmoil and challenges in my world thinking to myself, did I miss my calling? Well, I guess you only miss your calling if you're 6 feet deep and you don't get a chance to change the outcome. So don't be surprised if you see my smiling face or hear my voice in radio or in television one day. Who knows? I don't think I have a face for television. I do have a great smile, though, and a passion for all sporting events. I love the backstories, and I tell anyone who listens to me, it's the backstory. It's the how we got to this point often that kind of just draws you in, sucks you in, and says, yeah. Anyway. That's basically it for today, guys. It is 27 past the hour. We're about two and a half minutes ahead of our cutoff time. But for those of you getting ready for your NFL Sunday, have a great, great day. Have some great snacks. Enjoy your food. Be smart. Don't overindulge. And for those of you who want to drink a six-pack of beer by kickoff, behave yourself, all right? You're here this week. We want to see you back next week and many weeks beyond. We are very thankful for your support for all these years. We're thankful to some of our vendors, if you like. What are they, vendors, or are they just sponsors? They're sponsors. Guys like Subway, Kit Kat, and some of the others, we thank you guys so much for believing in what we're trying to do here. Yes, we're a sports talk show, but we're also an entertainment vehicle as well. And from time to time, we do get a little socially considered, maybe the right word, or I hate the word political, but sometimes we do that as well. But nonetheless, it's been fun. It's been a great ride. And I intend to see you right back here next Sunday when it'll be week 16 in the National Football League with a lot more scenarios and a lot more implications for playoffs on the line and very visible. That playoff machine is for real, and please spend time out of the ESPN and enjoy it. Have some fun with it. That's going to do it for us. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time on the Fastest 60 Minutes Sports. Good day, everybody. I'm Vinny Moore.